Hi, everyone. Welcome to American Truth Finders. I'm Neil Douglas, and I'm your host for the show. Hey, you know, we always have a different show lined up, and tonight is no different because I have no guests. I'm sorry. Don't be disappointed. You're going to have to put up with me. But my topic tonight, and for some of you, this may sound a little strange, but I'm going to the topic is this. Are we on the edge of World War III? Now, this is a call-in show, so please feel free to call in, ask any question, and in this case, probably give me your opinion. You can tell me I'm crazy. That's okay. That's what this show's all about. It's your show. It's a call-in show. Don't believe one thing I ever say or any of my guests say, people. Do your own homework. Do your own research. Make up your own mind. Our phone number is 888-627-6008. It's toll free, so it's not going to cost you anything. It's 888-627-6008. And if you want, tell your friends to go online, go to bbsradio.com. bbsradio.com. They'll hear the show immediately. Give them the phone number. Tell them to call in. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, tonight, because I may not get through everything I want to get through, because there's a lot that I want to cover. I'm not probably going to get to cover it all, but are we on the edge of World War III? And I know some of you are scratching your head and saying, what in the world is this man talking about? Is he out of his mind? Why would we even be thinking about World War III when we got an election coming up? And everybody's talking about the election and who's going to win and who's not going to win, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Well, I'm going to tell you, this has nothing to do with the election. I'm going to touch on a few things real quick. Again, our number, again, is 888-627-6008. I want you to feel free to call in and tell me if I'm off. Hey, if I'm off my rocker, I'm a big boy. I got big shoulders. I can handle it. But the global, I'm starting off with a global economy, because certain things lead into others. And for 2016, you know, things are, you know, kind of iffy. You know, the Euro area might recover a little bit better. The Asia Pacific growth is not likely to improve. I'll tell you that. And actually, the growth in rates of China, India, and Southeast Asia are unlikely to see significant differences or improvements in 2016 compared to 2015. And believe it or not, India has already overtaken China as the growth champion of the region. Latin America, well, they're kind of losing the race. I mean, so that's, you know, neither here nor there. Africa is positive, but they're uncertain because of the commodity prices. But anyway, that's just a start. But for the United States, there's seven signs. I'm not going to read you, tell you what they all are. I'm going to tell you what these signs are of a U.S. economic collapse in 2016. Why is this important? Why is an economic collapse important around the world? Well, number one, because it causes chaos. And when it causes chaos, you got nutcases out there with nuclear weapons, and we're going to get into that. That start thinking that they're going to, you know, wipe us right off the map, no matter who it is, if they don't like us. All right, getting back to the seven signs. Number one is the government statistics are hiding U.S. economic collapse. I'm not going into detail. I'm just going to give you the signs. Sign number two, real wages are falling for average Americans. Well, damn it, we've known that. You know, we've already known that. Yes, there are some cities that are raising the income rate for, or wage, I should say, for people who are working, and but the other small business people can't do it. Other small people can't do it. Sign number three, millions of Americans, get this, have little or no money. Now, these are signs of a United States economic breakdown here, collapse. Number four, the U.S. interest rate hike could cripple America. I saw this coming. I knew this would be an issue when the Federal Reserve decided to, that they're going to raise the interest rate. Number three, the global economy is anemic. Or number five, I should say. The global economy is anemic. So the United States hasn't really been steamrolling in this competition, trust me. Number six, the U.S. companies are increasingly relying on foreign sales. And all of this, just all of this, could mean a U.S. economic collapse in 2016. Because the weak global economy is going to add pressure, not just to the global stock market, but also to the U.S. exchanges. We already saw the worst January I think it's been in history. Somebody might be able to correct me. And number seven, and the last one of the signs, and I didn't read them and go through them and tell you what they are. I'm just giving you the basics of them. Nosebleed valuations could lead to stock market crash in 2016. Is this serious? Think about it. Is this serious? If you have an IRA or any kind of a retirement, if you have a Roth, if you have a 401k, it doesn't matter. If you could lose it all. It could be gone in a flash. You might be a millionaire today and have nothing tomorrow. Does this lead to disaster? Well, I'm going to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, if it's worldwide, you're darn right it does. There's no doubt about it. Now, in 2015, the Russian economic crisis, they went haywire. They fell by $5.4 billion to $369.2 billion in the week of October 23rd through October 30th. So what could happen in the future? And now we have a leader there, Vladimir Putin, who says Russia's economic crisis has peaked. And this was on December 17th of this last month. Now, he delivered a blunt defense of his foreign policy in an annual question-answer type thing. And he tried to reassure Russians that the worst of the country's economic crisis was over. Well, I'm going to tell you something. I believe him like I believe my worst enemy. And I, I couldn't even pick up my worst enemy and throw him across the room. And now, I'm going to ask you this question, because this is going to lead into something else. But is Vladimir Putin, is he flexing his muscles along with China? I mean, when you think about the weapons and the threats and the whatevers, and here China is building man-made islands for their airstrips, what are they up to? Now, China's probably the least of our concerns versus Russia. I can remember when Russia was the biggest concern that the United States ever had. There's some of you that may remember that, some of you that might not. Now, George Soros says that the world could be headed towards a financial crisis similar to 2008. And I know that what you're thinking. You're thinking, well, where are you headed, Neil Douglas? Well, I tell you, I'm headed towards the fact that a worldwide crisis economically could lead to, look, we've got an ISIS problem, and along with a nuclear problem, with all these countries thinking that they're going to be the biggest and the best and the baddest and whatever you might want to put it, threatening each other, wiping each other, trying to wipe each other off the map. The economic crisis can lead to anything when it comes to a world, global, wide issue. And if any of you disagree with me, please call me and tell me, because I'm going to tell you right now. I believe a worldwide economic crisis, collapse, depression, whatever you want to call it, could lead to any disaster, especially in today's day and age when we have all these nuclear weapons. Here, look, damn it, excuse my way of putting it, we've got a president, as far as that I'm concerned, and I don't care if you agree with me or don't agree with me, that's what this is all about. If we all agreed alike, you know, what a dull world. Oh my gosh. But here's my point. We got a president that gives one of our craziest leaders of the world in Iran $1.5 billion, $15 billion? I don't even remember, crying out loud. I drove me crazy thinking about it. And they keep, we're not going to build our nuclear program. No, we're not going, let me tell you something. And we believed them. What's wrong, not just with our president, but what's wrong with the Congress? What's wrong with the people that are supposed to stop him? It's like, I'm going to tell you right now, he thinks he's the king of the United States, and I'm beginning to think he thinks he's the king of the world. But then we got Koreans, goofball, Kim Jong-un, who thinks he's king of the world. Well, he is a 33-year-old nutcase. I mean, this guy's crazy. I don't trust him as far as I could put him with the guy with Iran. Whether you're talking about the Ayatollah or who you're talking about, it doesn't matter. I really don't care. I really don't care. I want you to pay attention. This is serious, folks. And now we have ISIS. ISIS is not a country. ISIS is not a religion. ISIS has grown faster than probably any country has grown. And I'm telling you right now, this is really getting serious. What if they get, what if we end up getting them with nuclear weapons? They've got all the money, that they're getting money from all over the place. They're getting money from all over the place. Our number is 888-627-6008. Let's go to our phones. We've got Dave on the line. Hi, Dave. How are you?
Hey, Neil. Good, and good show. Really enjoy listening to you.
Oh, thanks, Dave. What do you got to say, Dave?
Well, I just totally agree with everything that you're talking about. I think the whole world is having an economic meltdown. You know, the whole system has been top down. It's benefiting the people at the top. The people at the bottom are going broke. And you got these sociopathic, narcissistic, egomaniacal leaders that, you know, they don't know the difference between right from wrong. I mean, you know, like you were talking, Neil, you got this 30-year-old kid in North Korea that's playing with hydrogen bombs.
Well, now he's shooting propaganda 15 miles into South Korea, scaring the heck out of South Koreans. And believe me, South Korea is going to, they're going to retaliate somehow. They're not going to sit back and take it.
Oh, no. They're both a couple paranoid schizophrenics waiting to pull the trigger on each other. And, you know, this is nuts. And the people in these countries get caught in the crossfire. When you have these dysfunctional leaders doing what they do, then, you know, it sort of reminds me of the old mafia turf wars, you know, people sitting in a restaurant while somebody goes by and machine guns somebody that they don't like and everybody getting killed in the crossfire. I mean, this is like worldwide turf wars. And I really think it's time that we take our countries back and, hey, this isn't of the people, by the people, and for the people anymore. This is of the people at the top. That's all. We need the people at the bottom to finally have a voice.
Well, let me ask you this, Dave. Since you're on that topic, what about these other countries where they don't have a system like what we started off with our forefathers, where. In other words, these people are told who their leaders are going to be, whether they like it or not.
Yeah, I think we're starting to find, though, Neil, whether your leaders are born into that position of power or whether they're elected, it seems like it's just a matter of time before they turn into schizophrenics or something. I don't know. I mean, they don't know the difference between right from wrong. I think it's time, you know, we get into the 21st century, we've got all this great communication technology. I'm trying to figure out why we, as a supposed democracy, are letting one president dictate to 300 million people. That's not anything close to a democracy or a republic.
Well, it's no different than any of the other countries I've listed.
That's exactly right. We get to vote for our dictator. So what? I mean, who wants, in the age of communication, when we can all have a voice on the issues affecting our lives, why are we letting one person or nine people on the Supreme Court or 535 people who we know are all bought and paid for in Congress, why are we letting these people set the moral tone and decide where our tax monies go and don't go? Why? I mean, it just... You know, it's just silly, don't you think? I mean, am I crazy too?
Well, no, I'm going to throw you a curveball on your situation.
Okay.
So what you're saying is we need to build a system from the bottom up instead of from the top
right.
down. Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay. So now, where do you start, Dave? Do you start? I mean, understandably. You have to start someplace. I mean, are you talking with a national election? Are you talking about a state election? What are you talking about?
No, you know, from the bottom up really is our communities. The only way we're ever going to have a solid foundation in America is for our communities to be solid. And I think we've all got to start in our own communities. We have the communication technology now to let the people start raising issues, ideas that they think can make our community better, you know, whether it be in education, the environment, a better tax system, you know, fixing the broken and corrupt judicial system and the penal system that's like a 21st century concentration camp. We have the technology. What we're pushing in our community, maybe your listeners might be interested in this, is we want to build a communication system that allows the people to start raising, debating, and voting on the issues. So what we want to do is use our local public broadcasting station to actually broadcast the public. And so we're working with them, and the goal is to use the TV, the radio, and the internet to let people in our community start presenting ideas to make our community better. We want to have an educated community on these issues, so we want to debate these issues, videotape that, present it to the community over the TV, radio, and internet, And anybody that's interested in any of these issues can vote with any touchtone phone.
Well,
we're building we want to build a database that will receive your call, verify the voter, and count your vote.
Okay, we're getting off the topic of my show, but I'm gonna throw this curveball at you, Dave, because here's my issue with that. Okay, I'm sure there's other people thinking this. So here's what I'm gonna say to you. In this case, if this does happen, let's say it does happen, you get this technology going,
right?
And you have out of whatever, let's say there's a 1,000 people in the town.
Right.
And you have 60 of them that actually vote.
Right.
Are those 60 going to dictate to the other 940?
Well, right now you've got, in our community, we have 9 people that are dictating to 267,000 people.
But they are elected by the people, right?
Well, they're not elected by the majority of the people. The majority of the people don't vote because they don't believe that the system works for them, and they don't believe that after these people get into office that they represent them, because the only way that you can represent somebody is to communicate with those people. And,
okay.
You know, I personally am 67 years old. I've never been asked my opinion. I have no representation. I have no voice. So that's why we're pushing this.
Okay, and then and you feel the same way about a national election down the road.
Sure, but the people that are going to vote on these issues are going to be people that are interested in the issue. You know, believing that 9 people on a city council are experts at the environment, education system, taxation, knowing where that we want our tax monies to go and not go, is silly to believe that they know how we feel about the issues. So this will give the people in our community and every community around the country the empowerment that they need to start being the owners of the community as opposed to just the taxpayers.
Okay, real quick before I let you go, Dave, because I'm going to get back to my topic. How would this affect a nuclear war and the world economy?
Well, it takes the power away from the people at the top. You know, the people that are threatening a nuclear war, you know, those countries didn't ask the people to vote on it. These decisions are made by, you know, usually a person or a few people at the top. What this does is it allows the last to be first and the first to be last. Top-down systems always end up this way. You know, it's sort of like the story of the Tower of Babel, where it got so big and heavy it just fell over. And that's what's going on in these countries. Getting back to your original comment at the beginning of your show about the economic situation of the world, that's why the economy is falling apart, because it's really the people in the world that are the engine of the economy. But when these top-down systems suck all the money out from the people at the bottom and they have it hoarded at the top, all of a sudden, the people at the bottom, you know, they starve. And that's when crime starts to raise its ugly head because, hey, when you don't have any money, you're going to survive. You're going to eat, even if it means breaking into your neighbor's house and stealing from them.
Well, that's what's
going on worldwide. When you have a dysfunctional system in place, you have a dysfunctional society in place.
Okay. Well, I think then it's kind of like those 7 signs that I don't know if you caught them or not. But
I think that
kind of tells the story about what happens to people during this kind of a thing. Hey, Dave, I appreciate your call, and listen, feel free to call in anytime, buddy. And
okay, Neil, great show. Appreciate what you do.
Hey, thanks so much, Dave. Our number is 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. What do you think? Is there anybody out there have any opinions on what Dave had to say? Our caller, because look, we have crazy leaders in this country. We've got some. I mean, look, every country. I don't know of any country where they think that their leader is the best leader in the world. If there is anybody that everybody just loves that leader, I'd like to know what country it is and who those people are. Because this is a worldwide show. This is an international show. Believe me, I know, because I've got people from all over the world that message me. And they're telling me they got the same issues that we've got. So my point being is, look, we're headed in a direction that's going to destroy this world if we're not careful. I'm looking at ISIS right now. You know, forget the nuclear for a minute. I'm looking at ISIS. My gosh, I'm telling you what. They're coming out of our colleges. They're in our colleges teaching. They're doing everything possible to recruit, and they're being successful just in our country. And look at the women that not only are they recruiting, but look at what's happening to our whole world. And this is not even a religion. This is not a country. This is nothing. And they got all the money they can handle. And I'm telling you what, yeah, all these countries say, hey, let's all join together and let's get rid of them. Let's go to line three. Paul, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Well, it's nice to be back. Thank you.
Hey, how are you, Paul?
Pretty good.
What's on your mind, buddy?
Sorry, what?
I say, what's on your mind?
Well, I was listening to what the gentleman said earlier. I think he's kind of messed up. He doesn't know that he's in a democratic republic, and so much of what he wants can never happen because he's not in a democracy. He's in a democratic republic. So that's the way our government's set up, and he just doesn't seem to understand that, which is kind of sad. I was like teaching high school kids all over again.
Well, you know, I think, yeah, and like I said, I mean, I, you know, I'm not here to argue with my listeners, but or my callers, but that's why I did ask him. You know, are we going to end up with a handful of people, you know, dictating? And he's right to one degree. When you have a board of directors or whatever of nine people, or a Supreme Court of 7 to 9 people that dictate to 350 million people, but they are appointed and or elected or whatever the case might be. But anyway, let's go on to what's on your mind. I know, Paul, I'm talking about ISIS right now. I've kind of gotten away from my nuclear situation and the World War III thing, but I think ISIS is kind of involved in this as well.
ISIS is we got to stop calling them ISIS because ISIS does not exist anymore. The only place they exist is in the media. ISIS has not been around for over a year. It's the Islamic State. And you were correct earlier saying that they have expanded pretty quickly and become a country pretty quickly. And the reason for that is historical. This is what happens when you have a caliphate. They attack, they commit jihad, they expand their borders. This is how the original caliphate, when Muhammad took power, he left Medina, and all of a sudden they became a Muslim country. They became Muslims. I mean, leaving Islam, according to Muslims, started when Muhammad ran from Mecca because he was going to get killed by the polytheists. And all of a sudden they became a political entity. They grew a little bit stronger, and then they started attacking other places and taking them over. They were raiders first. Then they became violent attackers, trying to expand their country, their control, until they got all of Arabia, then getting almost all of North Africa.
Yes,
and
they are.
And they expanded all the way through to parts of India, Pakistan, up into Afghanistan. Areas, they're pretty wide. They even had parts of Spain and France. This is stuff that's happened, I believe, France. And they still believe that they have the right to expand like this, to take over other countries. Now, important thing,
Paul,
to understand.
I was just going to throw something at you. Paul, because when you say ISIS itself does not exist anymore, Yet the term ISIS is used constantly in our media. Why is that? I don't mean to change your topic, your part, because I want to get back to what you're talking about.
That's the important thing. There's one reason, there's only one true reason that the media doesn't like to use it, because the acronym is IS. And in English, that means is. That's the only reason, media-wise. But political-wise, in the United States government, our president still likes to call them ISIL. Lately, he's been flipping and going to ISIS. But he's one of the he's one of the people who helped create this group. And we know this because historically he and McCain were behind arming these Syrian rebels. They provided training camps for them. Earlier this year, they were talking about, well, you only train like six of these individuals or something like that, something ridiculous number. That is so untrue. We spent millions of dollars training Al-Qaeda people to kill us. That's what we spent millions of dollars on. You trained Al-Qaeda. They trained them in military tactics. They trained them how to, you know, follow, learn little military things that we would trust them with. And that's when they became a military unit cohesive enough to start attacking and taking over parts of the country and becoming the Islamic State.
So it is actually along with whether it's, I mean, if you look at what they ISIS controls on a map, what you go from whether it's from Syria, I mean, you've got Jordan nearby, you got Saudi Arabia nearby, you got Turkey nearby, you got Egypt nearby, you know, and they're more incorporated in the Syrian area, or more controlled, I should say. But
they
have
a piece of Syria. They have parts of West Africa. They have parts of North Africa. Any place that any terrorist group that submits to them and has control over a piece of land extends the caliphate's reach. The Boko Haram, you'll hear their name mentioned again. They are no longer the Boko Haram. They haven't been for almost a year. They submitted to the caliph, so they are now called Boko Haram West Africa.
You know, that's right. I did hear that. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but you're right. I did hear that.
Yeah. This is going on all over the place.
Pardon?
This is going on all over the place. Even the people here in the United States and Canada, if they get together and let's say they get a hold of an area of a city, and they can control it with Sharia, they can call themselves part of the Islamic State.
That's darn near like Detroit. Detroit is so close to that now, it's unreal, Paul.
It's close. They're not as high a percentage as I had originally thought. I called down there, interviewed some people down there. Some of the information that's coming out of there has to be verified because some of the sources are not reliable. I'm not sure exactly where all the stories come from, but I'm just learning after having called and check some stories that have come out of this particular area. You have to watch. And I would say if you hear of a story that's come out of one of these areas where there's a predominant amount of Muslims, give me a call. I'll make a couple phone calls, and I will check and see if they're accurate. Because that's one of the things I want us to keep doing, is making sure we're reporting the truth rather than somebody's rumor.
Here's one interesting thing.
We have a guy yelling Allah Akbar, driving into people, and what do? They say, oh, he didn't mean to hurt anybody, and it wasn't, they say it wasn't because of Islam. Wait a minute, he's yelling Allah Akbar, and he runs into people, and they say it's not because of Islam. What do you think?
Let me throw something at you. I'm going to throw two things at you. Why will Assad not fight ISIS?
Assad?
Yeah.
I
realize,
he's the one who was fighting ISIS.
He had been fighting ISIS,
and probably still is.
You really think
only
he is?
Our media will not report it.
I question whether he really is or isn't. I mean, and that's just me, but you know, that's why I threw that at you. And secondly, I'm going to ask you another thing.
He will be wiped out if they take over. He will be wiped out because he is I cannot pronounce the name. A Walakite sect of Muslims, and Sunni Muslims consider them heretics. So he will be executed. He doesn't get a chance to convert to Islam, to Sunni Islam. He gets executed. So he doesn't have a prayer. He has to fight.
Well, that's interesting because I just read an article that he won't fight them.
What,
I mean,
that
doesn't
that?
Mean that, that doesn't mean that doesn't mean. I got to be honest with you. I've got it in front of me. It's from. It's from actually. It was a part of Time Magazine.
Time Magazine is noise, right? The sources. Sometimes lately, Time Magazine, New York Times. I've been finding an incredible amount of places where you would think they'd be reliable, but they're not. They're reporting rumors. There was a New York Times article about here in Rochester, New York. On New Year's Eve, there was a person arrested here in Rochester, New York. I live here. The guy who was arrested for supposedly, he was purchasing knives. He was arrested by the FBI, purchasing knives and duct tape. He was going to go attack a bar so he could join the Islamic State. It was his trial run. The guy that they arrested is something. He actually come after me and my children at one point. We were downtown. He threatened us. He's mentally ill. And all the markers with this, the New York Times said that he had said, well, it's just us, and just, you know, talking to the FBI guy, it's just us and the Lord now. But wait a minute. And he called that a Muslim?
Okay. Well, yeah, said, oh, you know, this is really getting to be serious, when my topic came up there, then when I brought up the topic of the show, you know, are we on the edge of World War III? And I brought up ISIS with this because I'm trying to figure out. Okay, let's forget ISIS. You know, we'll talk about the Islamic State. But my point
want to
is
your question. If you're on the edge of World War III, I can tell you that one.
Say that again.
William Casey, a former CIA director, has said that World War III was the Cold War. We are in World War IV, he has said. World War IV is the war on terrorism. So He considers that the Cold War is over. That was World War III. It may be starting up again. And then we have what's happening now with terrorism, we just call it what it is, Islamic terrorism.
Right.
We don't have any other groups of religion, people calling themselves a religion, killing each other. We just don't have that.
Well, they're not a religion.
They're what?
In my opinion, they're not a religion.
They are not. Remember, they declared themselves to exist only after they became a political entity. So that makes them a political entity, not a religion.
Okay,
they have a belief system like a religion. However, is embedded fully with political things like laws, judges. They have and leaders that are political entities. So it is not a religion.
Paul, let me ask you this question. This is a very serious, hard question. And I mean, I'm really concerned about this one. What is happening to these women that are being raped? Treated like dogs. Can you explain anything about this at all to our listeners?
Well, there was a recent fatwa on this. It's got a lot of good media. And I say good media because it's actual news reporting. Daily Mail did a good one. It was called, this is from the people who translate this do this incorrectly. They call it ISIL, Committee of Research and Fatwas. There's a reason why the L is wrong. It's supposed to say Islamic State of, yeah, whoever's writing the translation did that on purpose. It says, question, some of the brothers have committed violations in the matter of the treatment of female slaves. So we're talking about sex slaves. This is part of the Quran. The Quran requires, you have to understand, it's not in Islam to want everyone to be Muslim. Then you can't have sex slaves. Then you can't have dhimmis. Sex, you can't have slaves because they can't have been converted to Islam first. So you have to be able to take over.
Wait a minute. Say that again. Say that again.
You can't have the Muslims. It's not in Islam to want everyone to be Muslim. If that happens, you cannot have the sex slaves, and you cannot have people subservient to you. So that is not what they want. They don't want everybody to be Muslim. They want your land.
Really? So yeah. these young, even the young children, basically, am I wrong? The young girls, are they sex slaves as well?
If they are not Muslim and they are taken away, they are sex slaves. They're slaves. They are taken, and remember, Muhammad married a six-year-old, fondled her till she was nine, and then decided that it was okay to bed her. So he is the Muslim perfect man. They consider him the perfect man. So if their perfect man can bed a nine-year-old, it's expected that if you want to be like your idol who is perfect, you would do something similar.
Oh, my God.
Now, Abu Bakr was the father of Aisha, and that's one of his friends. He was in his 40s when he bedded this girl at the age of nine. So that's another thing to think about.
Now, this could happen in the United States.
This is slavery. This is slavery, though, we're talking about.
Oh, I know, but this could happen in the United States, Paul. With the way things are going, let's say a community becomes converted to the Sharia or the Islamic State or whatever the case might be, this could happen right here in our own country.
In some ways, there are areas now in the United States, there are camp areas where no non-Muslim is actually permitted. Eric Stackelbeck has done extensive reporting on this, and Ryan Morrill. Those two have kept up on it. You can find the articles on CBN and on clarionproject.org. Those are the two people keeping up on that end. However, where it's most dangerous for us here today is in the colleges and in the public schools. Because the colleges are training our new people to, you know, they're going out and they're joining the professions. They're becoming new teachers. They're becoming new whatever. However, the issue is what they're being taught in those places is often errant regarding Islam. They're not being told the truth. They're being told it's like they have a professor out here at Nazareth College who says openly that Islam means peace. However, when you ask him in a public environment, what it means in Arabic, he pauses and says, submission. Well, does that mean if I don't submit to you, you're going to kill me? I've asked him this publicly. This is a Dr. Muhammad Shafiq of Nazareth College of Rochester. And he's done this twice. He's let me walk him right through it twice in a public atmosphere so he can be seen as a liar. And yet he's still a professor at Nazareth.
Well, let me ask you this. Now, and this is very serious. Do you believe that all Muslims are have this same state of mind? I mean, because I know some Muslims
do not know what they believe. I don't believe most Catholics understand what they believe.
But what I'm saying is, because I know some Muslims that don't even, you know, have no use for what's going on.
And that's where we get into, if you know what you believe, then you are what's called a devout believer. If you know what you believe and you stand up for what you believe, you are devout. People call those in Christians, they call them fundamentalists, people who stick to what the Bible says. They call them Bible believers. Okay, and what do the Bible believers say? Hey, you know, we got to tell everybody about Jesus because it's important for them to, you know, not go to hell. We got to at least give them the opportunity. That's what a Christian does who follows the Bible. However, a Muslim who follows the Quran will commit, most likely commit, an act of terror at some point, unless he doesn't believe he's been called to jihad. That is the only difference between a what people are calling a radical Muslim and a moderate Muslim. A radical Muslim says, well, you know, jihad, maybe tomorrow. The moderate Muslim says jihad maybe tomorrow. The radical Muslim says jihad today. That is the only difference in what they believe.
Really?
Yeah.
See, now I mean, I say that almost shockingly, because like I said, you know, I mean, when you hear people that say they know people that that are Muslim, and like I know people that are Muslim that don't have the feelings of like, you know, of like ISIS or the Islamic State or whatever the case might be, ISIL, whatever the president wants to call them. I guess my point, and I kind of got off track there, and I didn't mean to, was I was just trying to straighten out people who thinking that everybody in this world is bad, regardless, you know, unless they believe the way they think. Like, you know, there are some Christians, and I'll have to tell you, there are some Christians who think that, well, if you don't think like I think, you're going to hell. And when you have the areas of the Bible Belt, there are so many different faiths and religions, and everybody's got their different ideas and interpretations of the Bible. Is that the same thing that happens with the Quran? Do they have different interpretations of the Quran?
You're getting close, and it's something that's also going to surprise you. They have what you would call Qurans for Muslims and Qurans for people who don't know. And that, what I mean by that is you'll have translations of the Quran, not in Arabic. And 99% of them are errant. And they're done purposely. They change things purposely to fool the non-Muslim. You have to understand there's also the Hadiths. Again, when written in English, 99% of the time they're going to be translated in a certain way so you don't learn certain things. I recommend everybody to go to David Wood's YouTube. Is one of his latest ones. That will be very revealing. Because it's actually shown in one of his latest ones. He talks about one word difference in a Hadith translation. The one translating it to the common language, and his only priority is to kind of communicate what's actually being said to Muslims who don't necessarily speak Arabic.
And that's David Woods on YouTube, right?
Yes, David Wood. He did a recent one, and one of his I think it's his last one. I recommend subscribing to him if you actually want to learn about Islam. He talks about the difference between one word being translated, and this is towards the end of this clip. The one word is translated, bet. Now they talk about Muhammad says why he should treat Aisha better than he treats his other wives. When it's required in the Quran, you treat your wives equally. Is that when he's in his wife's bed, he gets revelations. But he doesn't get them when he's in Aisha's bed, he gets revelations. When he's not in the other wife's bed, he doesn't have the revelations. However, a woman, Muslim, points out when she's talking to other Muslims, that this word is actually garment. So when he's wearing his Aisha's clothes, he has revelations. When he's wearing his other wife's clothes, he doesn't have revelations.
You know something? This whole thing sounds like a fairy tale.
You're right. And this is the kind of stuff that we're allowing our kids to be taught as a peaceful religion. We're allowing them to be taught that this stuff is accurate. Why don't we return to telling your kids the truth rather than saying, let's look at all of the things about these religions instead of just saying, well, this is true, that's true, maybe true. You know, give them all the facts instead of just saying, you know, you can make a choice, but here's what it is. And you don't present everything. Stuff like this is actually important.
Well, but this happens with even Christians. They take context out of the Bible and use it to their own advantage. of their particular religion or belief. And I'm not putting down Christians or their beliefs or whatever. I'm just making statements because I've seen them.
You have people like David Koresh who lead right. a group and they do not read the Bible. There's a difference there. When choose to follow someone rather than read the Bible on their own, you place yourself at risk.
Well,
and
that's right.
One of the cool things about Christianity. The goal of Christianity was to educate everybody about who Jesus was. And how you do that? You have to learn how to read the Bible for yourself, not
well,
to
trust
other people for it.
Now, Paul, before I run out of time, I want to ask you this question. I'm going to go back to the word ISIS, if that's okay with you.
Sure.
If they get a hold of, because they're getting money from the oil. They're getting money. You know, they say that we said that we bombed their oil and blah, blah, blah. Well, that's a bunch of garbage. The point I'm getting at is this. They've got the money. If they have the strength and they're gaining strength daily from all over the world. And the only part that probably isn't as bad is South Africa, where China kind of controls that area more so than ISIS hasn't even really gotten into Southern Africa. But my point there is I'm gotten a little bit away. What if they get a hold of a nuclear weapon?
Well, they already have chemical weapons at their disposal.
We know that.
Yeah, a nuclear weapon would be used on Israel. It should be no surprise that we pretty much know that they would plan to use the chemical weapons against Israel.
Well, and the United States is not going to do a darn thing about it at this point with the president we've got.
This president would provide an open door for them to use it. That's the scariest part. He would do nothing to strike fear in them. He'd probably encourage them. He's already made statements that are so anti-Semitic that sadly our press does not call them anti-Semitic when they are. The insults to the president of Israel, Prime Minister of Israel, constant insults from this president regarding Israel are just beyond belief.
Do you think, I'm just going to ask you a quick question about this. Do you think, because I do believe that ISIS could get a hold of nuclear weapons. We know they got the chemicals, and they could cause a worldwide chaos that could start a world, well, if you want to call it World War IV, whatever, doesn't matter, that it could happen.
We only have one good thing working to our advantage regarding this. In general, if you're a Muslim and you live in the Middle East, you are poorly educated. And the reasoning is that it is preferable for Muslims to stay ignorant, so they follow better. And that is the truth in there. However, those who become engineers and stuff have to have left the Middle East generally to go to another country to get an education. Then they return with that knowledge. That's the concern that all the countries are actually watching for, saying who has this knowledge, who is capable of it, and who could be returning with that knowledge. So it's something to actually watch for. I'm pretty sure they're actually paying attention to that.
Well, I'm telling you right now, I'm going to watch this David Woods YouTube video, and I encourage my listeners to do the same. Paul, I'm getting close to probably time where we got to wrap things up pretty soon here, within about 3 minutes or so. I'm not sure, but I'm sure that our engineer will let me know. But my point I'm getting at is this. Where we're headed right now, economically wide, worldwide, I'm talking about, and the United States is in very bad shape, financially. And those that are on the take or the dole are going to – when I call the dole, I shouldn't say that because there's people who really need it. But those people who are going to vote to keep the same type of people in office that they've got now – go ahead.
I think you're going to be very surprised. I work in an inner city school, and what's what's really shocking me is the amount of people from the inner city that are fascinated with Trump. What they see is not someone who is going to take away or stop welfare. They pretty much understand that's impossible. What they see is someone who has been successful, and they want to see jobs and economic in the economy jump up again. They understand the prices of things have gone up, but not their income. So they're all fascinated with Trump. I think it may end up being another Reagan landslide.
Well, you may be right. I know there's a lot of people. I know there's a lot of people that are really
going to be arrested within a month, anyways.
What's that?
Hillary's going to be arrested probably within a month, anyways.
I wouldn't bet on that one. I wouldn't bet on that one. Really, I wouldn't. I would not bet on anything.
One of the former U.S. attorneys has stated that she has she's got to be at 55 days now.
I'm aware. I know. I'm aware of that.
And arrest her.
But I'm just saying. Well,
they have a release that will of one of her emails that she has to be arrested for.
Well, here's the thing, and I got to cut you off because we've got less than a minute to go. But my point is, Paul, I wouldn't put anything past the fact that she's going to get away scot-free because she's a Clinton. But that's just my opinion. Paul, you know, I tell you what, I've had two people call in. Both of you guys have been like guests. I didn't expect to have any guests tonight. I really appreciate it. It's really been my pleasure. And, join me anytime, will you please? You've been very, very informative. In fact, I have to tell my audience real quick, Paul has been a guest of mine in the past. So, Paul, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for calling in. And the same to Dave Frank. Dave has been a guest of mine. Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Neil Douglas. This has been American Truth Finders. We'll see you in 2 weeks, which is from tonight. I don't even know what the date is. In the meantime, God bless everybody, and keep your head up, and let's have a great 2016. Good night, everyone.